sixth chapter. Nothing new this afternoon, just something else to reinforce your faith, hopefully. Encourage you to stay where you need to be in Christ Jesus. And we'll start reading in the 10th verse. Talk about the deadly darts or wiles of the devil, things that he does to try to discourage us, a few things that we want to just go over with you. Disappointment, of course, is one of them. And how many felt disappointment in your life and discouragement? You know, we've all felt there in despair, disappointment, discouragement, despair. We've all been there, haven't we? And you know what? You've been there. You might be there right now. And you'll go again someday. It's just the way, it's kind of what Satan does. But we can live victoriously nonetheless. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, today, take this word, encourage the folks, in Christ's name, amen. In the Old Testament, we read a story, and we won't go over there and read it right now, but we find it in 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter. It's a very graphic picture of what the enemy can do with darts. David's order was very clear concerning his son Absalom. He told Joab, capture him, but bring him back alive. That was very clear. David said, bring him back alive. Absalom had given him fits. He had created terrible things for David because of his rebellion, because of his sin. But he told him, bring him back alive. But you know what Joab did? When he found the young man hanging in a tree by his long, beautiful hair, he took three spears or darts and drove them through his heart, killed him. Well, there's a present day Joab who has some darts with your name on them. His name's the devil. He would like nothing more than to destroy you. Nothing more to bring you down. That's his job. He wants to destroy you. But I want to serve notice to you today that he can't do it without your permission. And he certainly can't do it without God's permission. And he's not going to get that permission. God won't give him permission to destroy you. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So understand that today. If you're a born-again Christian, nothing's going to touch you outside of God's will, God's providence. Understand that. But it's a terrible thing that can happen to a man is for him to walk all of his days of his life in ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. You ever heard that saying? Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. Someone once said, what you don't know won't hurt you. That's not true either. Another saying, just since I'm giving some sayings, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true neither. Words hurt. Once a word's spoken, you can't take it back, can you? The damage is done and you can't undo it. You may get over it, but you can't undo it. The fact is, what you don't know can kill you. The Bible tells us and warns us of the wiles of the devil. The word means scheme or trick. Scheme or trick. Something that is underhanded. I was watching another movie the other day, Western, of course. And these guys were gambling, and this one guy acted like he didn't know nothing about playing cards. When it's all said and done, later on, this one man lost a lot of money to him. They were friends. They was a sheriff deputy and this other guy, and they was just playing this game. And all said and done, next scene or two down, the man who'd won all the money was doing card tricks. And the deputy realized, I said, you sorry outfit. You're a card sharp. He said, well, yeah. And so he had cheated him. In other words, he knew how to manipulate the cards. He had some up his sleeve and said, so the devil's like that. He may present himself in one way, but rest assured he's got a trick up his sleeve and he's going to use it on you the first opportunity he gets to do whatever he can to destroy you. He is underhanded. He is underhanded. And what his schemes are built around the fact that someone is ignorant of the needed facts. You don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant concerning the devil and what the things that he would do. A scheme's a scheme. A scheme is something that uses on somebody that's unsuspecting. Well, we're not unsuspecting today. We know the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. We know he'll use whatever he can to discourage or to bring us down. We know that. So you need to be aware of that and be watchful unto that and then take the word of God to defeat him. Ephesians, the sixth chapter here, and these verses here gives you the formula you need to defeat the devil. It really does. But sometimes we forget to continually read the word, apply the word to our hearts, and if I could, for lack of a better phrase, work the word. Work the word in our lives. Believe what God says and then use it for our benefit. Now, so Pastor, you mean I can work the word and I can get real rich? I didn't say that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being rich in faith, rich in the goodness of God, being an overcomer, being victorious. That's what I'm talking about, and that's what we need. So if there's a scheme, it means if there's a scheme, which the devil has, and wiles, which means a scheme, or a trick, it means that he's hiding information from you. He paints a real beautiful picture about sin. I mean, you watch TV, and I mean, the devil is, I believe the devil is in control of almost every advertising agency in the world. Because all of them use sex. Almost all of them use something sexual. They make liquor look promising. Like it's just what everybody does, but yet it kills, steals, and destroys. They apply, everything you do is revolves around sex. Almost every commercial. So they're probably, somebody's being led astray, aren't they? But my point is this, there's information being hid, from the individual from whom it's directed. So he's going to hide things. And there's a number of things the devil doesn't want you to know. Number one, his power is limited. He's limited in location. He is not everywhere. He is not all powerful. He has limited power. God's the only being, if you would, that has all power. He's the only one that's everywhere. And he is everywhere. The devil's subject to the believer's authority, and his strongholds can be brought down. We have authority in the name of Jesus. What's happened, we forget that, or we get so caught up in our problem that we don't apply that, or we forget it. We get so caught up in things. So, his strongholds can be brought down. And no matter who you are, no matter how far along you are on this journey, living for Christ, that journey, the trip, You're still subject to being deceived by the devil. You're still subject to some of the things I'm going to talk about today. What he doesn't want you to know everything about what's in his arsenal. Fact is, he wants you to have limited access to that so that you won't know what you can do to combat it. But our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. There's three deadly darts that Satan uses on a regular basis. Three things he uses on a regular basis. Number one is disappointment. He likes to throw that at everybody. Boy, he's used it on me a lot. Has he ever used it on you? Disappointment. You see, we appoint ourselves to a lot of things. Relationships, we want a good relationship with almost everybody, don't we? We want to get along with people. Good jobs, our money, our children, educated children. I want my kids to be educated. Long and enjoyable retirement. Things, you just named it, that list can just go on and on and on. Things that you want to appoint to yourself. You know, I've reached the age that I think about retirement now. I don't know when I'm going to, but I have to think ahead that I'm almost 62, so sometimes, eventually I got to quit. Health or whatever will prevent me from continuing forever. Come on now, you understand? I don't know who said no back there, but keep that to yourself. I didn't say I'd ever quit preaching, but you understand there's a point of life, a point you get to a place. I knew Brother Raymond Cochran went to church here for about 5 years, one of the most encouraging former pastors I ever attended our church, and he'd come, and he had to retire. He retired probably when he was 75, 78 years old. But when he was 80-something years old, he was still trying to start a church. Had a heart attack putting a tent up in Earlsboro, of all places, because he felt like God wanted him to build a Pentecostal Church of God in Earlsboro. Nobody would help him. So he went and rented a tent and was putting it up himself. Had a heart attack. He got that tent up. He held services. Nobody came. But he was so desperate to do something for God. So no, I don't want to ever quit, Sister Bertha. But I have to consider that one day I won't be able to, may not be able to pastor anymore effectively. Okay? But you understand, so we look to, and a lot of you have retired from jobs. Brother Ron, until he got a new job, he was saying, I'm going to retire at 62. Did that right? You kept telling him, Brother Stone, I'm retiring at 62. I said, Ron, you can't do that. You're too young. I don't care. I'm retiring. I'm going to enjoy my life. Looking forward to enjoying life, not having the cares of a job, having all that money come in from the federal government. Oh, he's a dreamer, isn't he? But you understand, we look forward to things. But I'm going to tell you something. Life will hand you some things that you're not expecting. A layoff from your job. The death of a loved one. A child that would go astray. Retirement cut short by sickness. I can give you examples of that. I have a cousin just this last year in 2014. It's 13. October 2013. Getting ready to retire. His wife had just retired from her job at the school. He's getting ready to retire. Just a few more months, he's going to retire at 62. I'm retiring. I'm hanging it up. He wasn't going to quit working. He's going to keep doing stuff. He had a lot to do. He has cattle and he had farm and he just had a lot to do. He's going to retire. He got a brain tumor and died in 3 months. Never did reach retirement. You don't know what a day holds for you. That's disappointment. His wife's sitting over there now with all the property and all the cattle. No husband. You think she's not disappointed? She quit her job. She got ready for retirement. Bruce was going to retire with her. It didn't happen. She's disappointed. Her world is crushed. Even still today. Almost 2 years later, her world is crushed. Sister Penny knows about that. Some more of you know about that. It happens. So you're disappointed. Satan will take these disappointments and play with your mind causing you to feel like God has left you out in the middle of nowhere. You felt that way? What am I going to do? I don't see an answer over there. I don't see an answer over here. There's no answer coming from that direction. There's no answer back here. I don't know what to do. I don't even see anybody to help me. Where's God at? Life hands us disappointments, and we wonder what we're going to do. Well, life's disappointments will do one of two things. It'll either poison you or it'll purge you. Either poison you against life and against God, or it'll purge you from all uncleanness. It'll cause you to really rely on God, to turn to God, to look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, to put your hope in Christ. Understand that God didn't forsake you. Our defense, our best defense, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, for He will direct your path. That's what you need to understand today. Some of you are going through some things. I could call some names and name some things. You're going through some things and you're wondering where God's at. Well, don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He won't leave you out there in the middle of nowhere, not knowing what to do, who to turn to. There's going to be disappointments. There was an old man who was told by the Third Avenue Congregational Church that he needed a college education to work in their church. Too old to go to college, he opened a fruit stand. First one fruit stand and then another until one day he was given a tour through his plush office building when a city official remarked, "No telling where you'd been with a college education." The old man replied, "I can tell you exactly where I would have been. I would have been a janitor at the Third Congregational Church. That's where I'd have been with an education." He took a disappointment and had a divine turnaround. You can take that disappointment and have a turnaround. You're going to be disappointed. Listen to me. You're going to be disappointed in life. But let God take that disappointment and turn it around. Amen? Then there's going to be discouragement. I've been disappointed. Have you? I've been discouraged. There's that song, was it? "I've been up and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the good times and the bad times, Lord, I learned to lean on You." Amen? "I lean on You, Lord." You got to learn to lean on God. There's going to be discouragement. And discouragement is of the devil. It is of the devil. God didn't send you discouragement. He wants to encourage you. He wants your faith to arise. But the devil sends discouragement. It's the opposite of courage. "Well, I don't know if I can muster up any courage, Pastor, but I can sure muster up some discouragement." It's pretty easy, isn't it? It's hard to encourage yourself in the Lord when you're being discouraged. You've been disappointed, and now you're discouraged. Martin Luther was discouraged one time, it says, a story goes, and the Pope was trying to kill him and most of his friends, and most of his friends had forsaken him. He noticed his wife was wearing mourning clothes one day. You know, back in those days, they'd dress in the black and put on the veils, and she remarked she was going to a funeral. "Whose?" he asked. "God's," she replied. Luther was irate at her answer. It was bad enough that the rest of the world was against him. Now it seemed his wife had backslid as well. "Who told you God was dead?" Luther asked. "You did, Martin," was her answer. "By the way you've been acting the last few weeks, I was sure you'd found out God had died." Upon hearing that from his wife, Luther went to his knees and asked for God's forgiveness. Church, you might get discouraged. It's going to try to come into your life every now. It's a dart of the devil, a scheme of the devil to get you to doubt God, to turn back on God, to give up on God. Don't do it. Go to your knees and repent. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself with His might. Let Him be God. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Amen? You can do that. God's not dead. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I encourage you today to encourage yourself in the Lord. You might be discouraged. I'm preaching to me now. I don't know why I ever preach sermon I'm preaching lately. It's to me. I guess because I know I don't know if maybe I'm going to have to preach all this stuff because I ain't getting it. Sometimes we got to get this, church. Don't be discouraged. Strengthen yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You'll be able to make it if you will. And thirdly, is despair. I may remember the old Hee Haw TV series. Remember that song, everybody? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And of course, during them songs, oh! We did a skit like that up in our church one. We used to do funny skits at Valentine's Day, and I got included in that one time. That was funny. Put on your overalls, an old straw hat, and chewing on a piece of straw, and get up there and sing that song. And you know, that's how the church gets sometimes. If you're not careful, you'll get that way. If it wasn't for bad luck, I just wouldn't have no luck. I'm in despair. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to give up hope. Don't do it. That's the final stage of discouragement and disappointment. It's despair. I don't know what I'm going to do. God has forsaken me. My family has forsaken me. The church don't give a rip. Nobody cares. And if the church is God's hand extended, apparently God don't care. What am I going to do? That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to be in despair. Don't know what I'm going to do. See, in a place of panic, irrational decisions and jumping ship takes place. A lot of people give up on God when they go through a trial. Of course, there's another song comes to my mind. I'm not going to sing it, bless the Lord. I might sing that, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now I forgot what I was going to do, Barbara. Doggone you. Oh, I know. I remember it. He'll take you through the fire again. Crab family sings that. He'll take you through the fire again. Don't despair. Don't panic. Don't be irrational. God will take you through it again. I don't care what it is. I don't care how many times the devil has thrown that at you. God will take you through it again. Don't despair. Don't quit. Don't make irrational decisions. I mean, when you're going through a problem, that's not the time to quit church. That's not the time to quit God. That's not the time to question God. That's the time to say, God, I don't see how I'm going to make it through this, but I'm going to trust you to bring me out on the other side. I'm going to trust you to bring healing. I'm going to trust you to bring restoration to my marriage. I'm going to trust you to give me a good job. I'm going to trust you, Lord, to bring my wayward child back. Whatever the need is, say, God, I'm not going to get in despair. I'm not going to quit you because of this. I'm going to trust you through this. So, Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I think I marked it. I'll have to find it. 2 Corinthians, is that after 1 Corinthians? What are you laughing about? Some of you wasn't sure. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Paul said this in the 8th verse. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Is that correct? I'm reading New King James. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus also, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is working in us, but life in you. Verse 18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Encourage yourself in that. There are some things that you're going through. They are temporary. Temporary. I wish I had a rope up here. Long enough to stretch from there to there. And I would put a little string on that rope somewhere towards the front of it. That little bit of string, talking about thin string, would be your life. Everything before would be eternity before you were born. That little bit of string would be your life while you're here this 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. And the rest of it's eternity all ahead of you. Think about that. No matter what you go through, when you compare it to eternal things, it is nothing. Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I would be a miserable person. Of all men, be most miserable. But if you're looking at it through temporal eyes, you can be miserable. But if you look at it through the eternal, my life is barely on the radar. But eternity stretches forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I could just say that forever. And eternity just goes on and on and on. This life is temporary. Don't get discouraged. Don't be in despair. Don't let disappointments rob you of your life in Christ. This life is temporary. There was a Hindu man in India just this week. I don't remember his name. I just read about it a while ago. Just this week, he came home from work and found his wife hung herself, committed suicide, hung herself and died. He came to our church in Kerala, India. Gave his heart to Jesus. He was in such despair. Didn't know what to do. So he turned to the gospel preacher, Brother Thomas. Become a Christian. You know what happened to him? His mother and father-in-law found out about it. They beat him up. Kicked him out of the house. Lost everything. Lost his wife. Now he's lost his family. But he did it for Christ. But he found some hope that he didn't have otherwise. You think, how would you like to be a brand new Christian? Now, this happened before he's a Christian, but think about this. You just become a Christian. You go home to tell your family, hey, I found the answer. I found Jesus. And they take clubs and beat you almost to death and tell you, you can't live here no more. You talk about disappointment, discouragement, and despair. It would be tough, wouldn't it? You have been blessed to be born in America where although your family might disown you over Christ, they will never beat you up. Most of them will never ever say we'll never speak to you again. They won't kick you out of your home. They may not come around you sometime because they don't want to hear you talk about that Jesus. But they don't kill you. Eternity is worth everything you might go through this side of your death. Do not become, don't let disappointment lead to discouragement that leads to despair. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Amen? Stand with me.